Welcome to There Is Hope. Any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, Richard Dover.
Lord, as we study your word, we want to be led by your spirit. We want to get a clear understanding of what scripture says so that we can live according to the word of God. So we apply the principles in our life and see fruitfulness in our life. And that, Lord, we can be more effective in being able to help others. So lead and guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we read out of the New American Standard. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Other translations say, "So that we may receive for the deeds that we've done, whether good or bad." The concept is that while we're living this earth as Christians, and this is applying specifically to Christians, that while we live on this earth, there's things that we do that are good, there's things that we do that is bad, there's things we don't do that we should do. And then when we get to heaven, there is going to be a judgment place. And for most people, when they see it, they think judgment is going to be, if I did some bad things as a Christian, then this is saying I'm going to have bad things come my way, or I'm going to get punishment or something like that. What is, do you think, the concept when it's saying reward for good and bad? Do you see it as that means there's going to bad come your way if you did bad or not when you're in heaven?
Well, I think it's just we're going to be judged. And, I mean, to receive what is due for us, things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Well, I think that, yeah, that form of judgment would lead to, I mean, maybe not some sort of punishment, but I mean, it would lead to something.
There's a consequence.
I mean, it kind of states. Right.
Would it be better to say there's a consequence?
Sure.
So there's a consequence for good and consequence for bad. Because here's the concept. We need to be careful, because if the consequence is for our bad, if the consequence is I'm going to be, quote, punished, then what did Jesus die on the cross for? Because he died on the cross for our past sins, our current sins, and our sins in the future. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And the Bible says if we can't confess our sins, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So that's as if I never sinned. If he cleanses me, then I've never sinned. So if I've never sinned, how can I get a punishment in heaven? And so what does that verse mean? Well, if we go to the Amplified Bible, and the Amplified Bible takes Greek words and kind of adds to them to kind of explain them, because Greek words have different meanings. So go ahead and read that.
Amplified Bible says, "For we, believers, will be called to account and must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be repaid for what has been done in the body, whether good or bad. That is, each will be held responsible for his actions, purposes, goals, motives, the use or misuse of his time, opportunities, and abilities."
So when you hear that, does that make more sense?
Right.
And so
it does.
When you hear that, it's not just our deed, right? It's even the use of our time. Do we, as Christians, do we waste time?
Yes.
As Christians, do we sometimes have, we do a good deed, but it's a wrong motive?
Yes.
And so, when it's talking about bad, we need to understand, when it's saying bad, for a bad deed, you know, we want to think bad deeds mean that it's, if I do break one of the Ten Commandments, if I smack a guy in the face, and we think that's the bad, but when you look at God's standard, our motives can be bad. Our actions, even though they're good deeds, can be bad because of motives. Don't handle our finances the right way. So in God's eyes, there's a judgment for handling your finances the wrong way. So when you think about that, there's a different measure that God has, and it's a lot higher standard than you and I have. Would that make sense?
Right.
So if God's standard's even higher, you should be even more scared of the judgment to come. But I want to share the concept that it's not so much about punishment, but it is the lack of reward. So let me explain this. If I am a kid and I'm in first grade, So if I have an F, I have 0 stars. If I have a D, I get 1 star. If I have a C, I get 2 stars. If I have a B, I get 3 stars. If I have a 4, I get 4 stars. That part makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I get a C, did I get punished, or did I just get two less stars?
Yeah, no punishment.
No punishment. I just don't get as much because I didn't do as good.
Right.
Now, if you think about that, and we see that concept when it comes to our good and bad in heaven, it isn't so much that there's going to be punishment because Jesus has already paid the price, but I do not have the same reward if I would have done something. So, for example, a simple one, if I would have witnessed to every person that God told me to, and that turned out to be 100 people, what would be my reward if all 100 people accepted Christ? My reward is to see those 100 people in heaven, right?
Yep.
Now, if I only witnessed to 3 people when God told me to witness to 100, and only 3 accept the Lord, was I punished? I wasn't punished because I was disobedient. I just only get to see 3 people in heaven instead of 100 people in heaven.
Right.
You see the...
Yep.
And so then, when we look at rewards, we say, what's the matter? Rewards, who cares about rewards in heaven anyways? I'm going to be with Jesus. There's not going to be any sin. There's not going to be any sickness. There's not going to be war. So who cares about the rewards? Well, obviously, God cares about the rewards because he said there's going to be some. And so the concept really is, the more faithful I am, the more blessed I will be in heaven. It's not the more wicked I am. Not wicked, because I don't want to say Christians wicked. The more fleshly I was on earth doesn't mean that I have more punishment in heaven. It means I have less rewards in heaven. So there is recompense for my actions. And so out of it,
well,
you don't have to fear the judgment, but at the same time, you don't think you're going to feel bad if God says, you know, you could have had 100 people, you could have won the Lord, but you only got 3 because you wasn't faithful. You'll be sad, won't you? You'll be hurt, but is that going to be something that's going to follow you forever? No, because you're in heaven. Go ahead.
Right.
Say so.
Well, I was just kind of thinking, I could be wrong here, but I'm looking at the preceding line there, and it says, so we make our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, and then from we must appear in all judgment. But, I mean, doesn't God want us to be happy on our time on earth as well?
Yeah.
So, I mean, living like that, right? And, I mean, I know, so, I mean, as somebody who runs into this all the time, you know, I mean, sometimes I begrudgingly give a homeless guy money and I didn't want to, but I just felt like, God, I'm just, you know, I reluctantly do it. Other times my heart's just so, you know, whatever, joyful or whatever the heck I'm experiencing, you know, and I have a desire to help him and all that. But, you know, if my ultimate goal is to live to please him, which is what I've found happiness on here, down here, to avoid all this misery that is availed to me on earth. But I mean, when I live like that, my time down here as well is I'm greatly rewarded for it.
You're greatly rewarded here, and think about it. You think that God probably has things figured out, and you think
yeah.
He has us figured out.
Yeah.
So he turns around and says, you know, but you're going to be judged by your good and your bad in heaven. And he knows us as human beings, we're motivated by rewards, right? That's the stuff
yeah.
we are. We're motivated by rewards. And what God is really doing, he kind of smiles. He says, you know what? As you are being faithful and obedient to do the things I've called you to do, you're going to have rewards in heaven. And hint, by the way, you're going to be blessed on earth too.
Right. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I just, it's kind of hard to be miserable. So I would imagine that would carry up in heaven. But I mean, it's hard to be miserable down here when my ultimate goal is to please him, because I tend to do things that make me happy and that make me feel good and that make, you know, the time can be painful down here. And, you know, living like when I'm living to God's will as opposed to just whatever I want, you know, I mean, I feel it down here. So it must be amazing in heaven.
Yeah. So that's the other thing the point I want to prove. If down here, if I'm doing good here, and right motives, all that kind of stuff, and I'm trying to honor God and give him glory and all that kind of stuff, and there's a reward by doing that here. Now, there can be persecution, right? You can be mocked, you can be killed, be a martyr for doing things here. But in the big picture, if I'm living a good life here, I don't care if you're a lost person or a saved person, you're living a, quote, good life. Good comes from that, okay? And it doesn't mean it's always good because, you know, the rain falls the just and unjust, but overall life's going to be better. Then think about it. When he talks about rewards in heaven, how much greater are the rewards in heaven for the very things I do here? In other words, my rewards don't end here. So if I'm touching somebody's life and their life is here, is transformed and changed, and they turn around and touch somebody else's life that's transformed and changed, and I get to heaven and I get to see the one little deed that I did that changed 20 people's life, that reward is much greater than I ever saw here because I couldn't see the 20 people's life changed here. And so then,
Rich, there's a little caveat here in there as well too, because if that is my only goal is to receive rewards, that's, you know, I mean, I don't know. That doesn't seem like that. I mean, I feel like that would be a judgment. I mean, I'm not saying that's what you just said, but that just kind of popped into my head. Is that, I mean, if I'm only trying to receive rewards, I don't think that is.
But yeah, because again, then it goes back to is what's your motive? Okay.
Right.
So here, as we kind of wrap up on the concept here, here's the mind-boggling things with God that sometimes it's hard to understand. I, for a long time, didn't like the idea of the reward concept in heaven. And I'm a performance-oriented type of guy. I'm a perfectionist type of guy. And so my natural man, my carnal man, loves the concept. Because I was the guy that got the straight A's. I was the guy that moved to the top of the company. I was the guy that prospered with those rewards, right? So then I accept Jesus, and I hear that, and it bothers me because it seems nasty, dirty to me somehow, okay? It seems like that's a wrong motive, right? But does God make mistakes? If God says the rewards, it can't be a bad thing, and he says if you do good, there's even greater reward. So rewards in himself are not a bad thing, or God wouldn't be giving us bad stuff. If God tells us that there's going to be rewards, he wouldn't tell us if it's a bad thing to do things because there's reward.
Well, yeah, but it's like doing something good for someone and then going and telling everybody about it. You know, I mean, if you did that just to, you know, get some recognition or anything, but I mean, there's something that happens in the heart when you are actually doing God's work, where it's almost it becomes second nature, or you know, I mean, you just have this desire and this will to please God, so it's just okay, God. I mean, I trust you. I'm going to do whatever I can.
Doesn't he have a will and desire to please us?
Yep.
And so we become like him. And God don't have bad motives. And God gets this.
Right.
When Bobby got rid of his major addiction, God got a smile on his face, and you gave a reward to God by turning your life around. You became a blessing to him. And you turned your life around.
Totally.
So if somebody else turns their life around because something I do, is it going to be a blessing to me?
Absolutely.
And if I'm in heaven, isn't it going to be a greater blessing to be able to see Jimmy that you led to Christ, and you didn't talk for Jimmy for 20 years, and then you go to heaven and both you and Jimmy there, and you get to hear what Jimmy did for the last 20 years because you touched his life. Is that not a reward?
Absolutely.
And is that a bad reward? That's the greatest thing in the world. And so we have to get our heads wrapped around biblical concepts and the bigger picture of the character of God instead of looking at things in the natural realm. And that's
right.
Where we get trapped, is when we look at the natural realm and natural mindset, a way of thinking things, because we're always going to go to some bad motives, some bad concepts, and all of that. So when I heard, you know, you're going to have a mansion in heaven, I didn't like that idea. Give me an outhouse in heaven. I don't care. I'm in heaven. And God probably laughs and says, you crazy fool. I got a mansion for you. You want an outhouse? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And if I'm your father, and I'm going to give you my inheritance, and you say, oh, Dad, you know, I was a bad son, just give me the outhouse, you're going to offend me as a father. But you think you're being humble.
Exactly.
And God, we can receive what God has for us. And what happens then, when we get this concept, then when it comes to honoring God, serving God, being obedient to the Word, all of a sudden we have a motive. I want to please God. In the midst of me pleasing God, there's a reward for me, not a punishment. So then all of a sudden you find a joy doing the things of God. All of a sudden you find a joy turning away from sin. All of a sudden you find a joy out of sacrificing for others. And then you become a transformed person. You become a new human being. And out of it, God wants to bless you for that. And we're not doing it for the blessing, but we know there's a blessing that comes with it. And it's not only in heaven, it is on earth. And I don't want us to look at blessings as, I'm not saying that by being obedient doesn't mean you don't get your head chopped off. Doesn't mean that you don't lose your job. But to get my head chopped off for Christ is a blessing. To lose my job for Christ is a blessing. Because the blessing isn't about the material and the financial and all that. The blessing is living a life of obedience.
Amen.
So what would this world be like? What would our own lives be like if we understood the true concept of what we just talked about? How would it look differently?
I think about that all the time. I mean, just the differences in just my world alone from, you know, 10 years ago from today. I mean, if everybody had that, and I've seen it in just the small group of people that I am in contact with. You know, I see the differences in them, and I see their lives getting better as well. And it's just, I mean, if everybody was doing that, man, it'd be a pretty amazing place down here.
And after a while, it just becomes who you are. And see, this is the concept of Christianity. Christianity is about relationship with God, and it's about a lifestyle. It's not about the do's and don'ts. It's not about the rules. It's not about I'm going to get punished. If I don't do this or that, God's out to get me. It is about having a relationship with Christ, having a relationship with the Father, having a relationship with the Holy Spirit in such a manner that it starts to transform you, and then your lifestyle changes. And when your lifestyle changes, you're a different person. Just like a person who was that innocent kid at 10 years old who becomes the child pornographer at 19 years old. A transformation takes place to evil. And they be consumed. How could that innocent kid at 10 years old become the guy that's sex trafficking? Well, it became a lifestyle of sin. And what God is wanting to do is to take us from a place of a lifestyle of sin to a lifestyle of serving Him. Because you know that child pornographer, that sex trafficker, he doesn't have to think about doing evil. He just does it. And what God wants to get us to is just to do good, because that's just what we do. But how many Christians are struggling with the don'ts? Because they don't understand the concept.
Right. It's important. It's vital. I mean, it seems to be exactly what you just said. I mean, this is what the deal is. This is what it's about. It's about an entire lifestyle. It's not about acts. I mean, it's just the relationship with God. And from the relationship with God, when the relationship is strong, the acts are they just become natural.
And when it's not strong, we hurt. We feel sad. And that sadness then motivates us what? To get back on track again, to get things in order again. And that's what God wants to do. So as we wrap up, if we look at the concept before this, it's talking about we have this human nature, this body that's going to be broken and die, and we're going to get a glorified body. And isn't it interesting, in the midst of talking about this broken body, we're going to get a glorified body, but while I have this broken body, I'm going to serve God and honor God. When I get my glorified body, I'm going to honor and serve Him. So as a believer, no matter what, whether I'm on heaven or earth, I'm going to honor and serve Him. In the midst of that, He is going to bless me. As I do that, He's going to bless me on earth. He's going to bless me on heaven. And so it's a win-win situation. When we allow God to take control of our life, it doesn't matter that I'm in this broken body. yeah, I want to exchange it for a glorified body, but I can have joy, I can have peace in the midst of a broken human mortal body if I'm serving God and honoring Him.
Amen.
And then all of a sudden life has a different perspective, and then no matter what comes your way, you have a different perspective because it's who you are now. It's a lifestyle. And I would say, Bobby, it's been, a few years? But really where you've experienced that compared to all the other years, and the few years you've experienced it is so much greater than all those other years, right?
By far. I mean, it's indescribable. You just can't put it to words.
So say you had 35 years of absolute evil, craziness, darkness, everything else, and you had 2 years of the goodness of God. Those 2 years outweigh all the misery of the 35 years.
Very true.
That's the good news. That's the good news. And the great news, it gets better, because this is just earth. Everything we talk about right now is earth. If it's good now, what's it like for eternity?
Right.
Absolute love and absolute mercy and absolute grace. And there won't even be mercy, because when we're in heaven, God won't have to show mercy to us. There's no need to show us mercy, because we're walking in His perfection. We're walking in His completeness. There's no need for mercy. I need it here on earth, but in heaven, because I won't be doing anything that I need the mercy of God. So it's powerful. Well, we need to close. We're going to pray through the scripture. So, Lord God, I would pray that whoever listens to this study, I think it's probably time, I'm a little bit excited about the concept. I pray to grab hold of the fact that when we serve God out of love instead of just out of obedience, then there will be obedience. And there's a blessing that comes from obedience. But, Lord, we want to serve you out of love. And I would pray, Father God, that we would not be afraid of the concept of reward, because there is a blessing in heaven. And I don't know all that is. I don't know what that all means. But if it's good, I want it. When somebody says they have something good for you on earth, you want it. So why would we not want the good that God has for us in heaven? So, Lord, help us to grow in our relationship with you, to be able to honor you, to give you glory and praise by the life that we live. And that, Father, we can take this message to others and show them how it is worthwhile to serve Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we know that there are times we've experienced them in our life that even though we serve you, life can be painful, it can be tough, it can be hard, very hard. It can be that we want to give up and quit. It can be that we want to run from God because of what we're going through. But at the end of the day, invariably, Lord, you come through, because you always will. When we honor you and give you glory, Lord, you will come through. And, Lord God, we thank you for that. We thank you for your faithfulness, even though we're not faithful at times. We thank you that you are faithful, and we give you glory, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This is Pastor Rich. Do you need to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." John 1:7 says, "You must be born again." Acts 16:31 says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And Matthew 1:15 says, "Repent you and believe the gospel." Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? If you want to get more information, you can always go to our website to learn how to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can go to thereishopetv.org. That's thereishopetv.org. And we have information on frequently asked questions about Christianity. We let you know step by step how to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I encourage you to go to thereishopetv.org. That is thereishopetv.org. Also, I want to let you know, if you would like to talk to me personally, you can always give me a call, toll-free, anytime, 1-866-1-GOD.
You've been listening to There Is Hope, and any advice or counsel given was provided for informational purposes only.